Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
David Johnston along with you. Jeff and I working together. Now, we have done that a few times over the years.
A couple of baseball games here and there.
We did the crossover last Wednesday. But just a great treat that we got Coach Donnan in with us as well for the next 2 hours.
Hall of Famer.
Hey, glad to be here. I tell you what, we need to get this on a national feed. Call them up there and put it up.
Because no doubt.
Wake up. If anybody's sleeping late in your house, wake them up because we're going to bring it today.
I love it.
Well, I'm definitely the worst golfer in the room. I'll promise you that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know who the best one is in the room.
It's Coach. The best tennis player.
Yes.
Well,
best punter, best quarterback,
tennis, racquetball.
I'll take any man from any land, any game that he can name, for any amount that he can count on, any day that he can play.
Oh, I love it.
Never really. I used to do that, but I can't beat anybody anymore. But I'm going to tell you this, man. Tech Week is nothing like it.
I know.
I might still be coaching if we hadn't played Tech.
Well, if there'd been replay.
I would have liked that, but I tell you, the first year I was here, Coach McGill came in there to my office and closed the door. I thought he was getting ready to tell me somebody had died or something. And he says, I'm just going to tell you, we're going over to play the enemy. The enemy's coming here, and I want to talk to the team. I said, well, Coach, you know, a lot of these guys don't know who you are. He said, I don't care. I want to talk to them. So he went down there, and he just laid them out. Some of those kids didn't even know who he was. But it was an impassioned plea. He said, this is the enemy. They're a bunch of, I can't say the word, that begins with a T and ends with a D. But he was very good at motivating our team and talking about how that game, how much it meant to us.
Well, and certainly, I mean, he held the ship together during the infamous drought from 49 to 56, and it does. It means everything to win this game and how big it is. And I know certainly, Coach, one of my fondest memories and one of your great wins was the comeback in 97. We were getting hooked by the refs in that game, too, the spot on that fourth down. Just all the stuff at the end of the half.
Two-point play when we – I mean, little play over on the – but I will – you know, my son Todd told me the game was on game was on TV yesterday at 3, and he was talking about all the different plays in it. But I never will forget Rocky Good, who ended up being a referee in the SEC, but he was the back judge in that game. And we had a people ask you about what do you talk about to officials over there. You know, usually you just say, how's it going? How's your family doing? All that. Especially, no, you don't do that. But but Rocky made a bad call over on our sideline. And he's from Knoxville.
Yeah, he's a Vol.
And I just went over to him. I said, Rocky, this game's on national television. Brent Musburger's up there, and he's looking at me right now. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to embarrass you in front of all these people, but I'm going to tell you this. If we got another call that's life or death in this game, you better call it for us or your butt's out of this league. And he looked at me. So into the game, they have that play where they grab Hines, and it's close. It could have been, you know, called defensive holding on when they intercepted right before we threw the fade to Corey Allen. But amazing. Old Rocky dropped the flank, dropped the old hanky, which you should have. I mean,
it was interference.
It was a correct call.
The big play in that drive, too, before that, the little tunnel screen you ran to Champ.
Tunnel screen's no good. Everybody says that's a terrible play. Hey, Don, when you go around
why do you keep doing the tunnel screen?
Yeah, that was a 28-yard
game. Look at the average per call and per play on the tunnel. So go ahead. That kind of chaps me when people.
What was a big play?
that was a
great play that got
us.
Well,
first
going
of all,
there.
Got it going as they kicked the ball off out of bounds.
Right, and then Champ, that was 28 yards, cut it up there.
Robert caught a ball out of the backfield and got out of bounds was a good play too, and it was.
Well, that's the thing. These are the games that you always remember. It's what legacies are about. I sent Kirby a text back in August. I said, all right, in 87, 97, and in 07, we beat Florida in Tech. So years at end in seven. We've beaten Florida and Tech. Got to keep that going.
See, Jeff, you got nothing to worry about.
Hey, piece of cake.
Yeah.
I hope Tech looks like Florida did when we go out on the field against them. That would be great. But, I think I heard you guys coming in this morning saying that nothing would please their people more than to knock us off, than maybe even win, you know, just because they just relish the fact, particularly people who live around here, they're Tech fans of anything bad that happens for us, you know. But I just feel like without going into a lot of worshiping type deal on Kirby, I just feel like our sense of direction this year has been overwhelming. We had a tough game against Auburn, but every week our team's really, you know, prepares good, works hard. It's gotten better. So many of these guys right now, if you just compared what they look like, the younger players, the red-shirted players, a guy like Ben Cleveland, just all these guys have made dramatic improvement from last spring to this fall and now this winter coming up because of really good coaching and fundamentals.
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. JD's, it's a first triumvirate that's here awesome. That we've ever done this before.
So
I'm really
come
excited.
Come up into baseball and
sit you can come out there anytime you want to, Coach.
Take two and hit the right.
In fact, please come up during
a
baseball
Joe,
game.
Joe DiMaggio, I mean, you were talking about him. I mean, what a player.
Was that a game changer?
Was he a game changer?
56.
Yes. Yeah.
56.
You got to admire him, too. I mean, must have had a lot going for him, too, Marilyn Monroe. I mean, come on.
What was his hitting streak after it ended?
He had 17.
17 more.
So he hit in 73 out of 74.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, we're talking about this. Coach Donnan knows all sports. And, you know, the DiMaggio 56-game hitting streak is really the benchmark. Now, there are going to be some statistical records, like Cy Young's win total. Okay, that's not going to happen. But when you talk about, like, benchmark records, the fact that Tiger didn't get it, and there's so much talent out there on tour now. I'm telling you, the Jack Nicklaus 18 professional majors, that thing's right there with DiMaggio's
streak. That's history now. Nobody's going to grab
that. No one's getting
too many, that. Too many guys every week. But I always like to listen to you talk about the different birthdays when I'm driving over here and listen about Walter Payton. We had a deal about and I might have said this on air before. I can't remember, but we were at this coaching convention, and guys were sitting around about players they recruited and all that. And then one guy said, "Well, who's the guy you turned down that you would like to have taken?" And all these guys kept on talking and talking. And this one guy, his name was P.W. Underwood, and he was the defensive coordinator for Auburn for a long time, and he ended up being the head coach at Southern Miss. He said, "I'll tell you one thing." He said, "I couldn't get any film on him, but I turned down Walter Payton."
Oh, my God.
That's badness.
I mean, hey, he said, "I just couldn't see him on tape. He looked so little. I just, you know," but he went to
Jackson State
there.
Yep.
And, we turned down Ronnie Brown, man. I mean, we would like to have him and like to have him and Jamal Lewis, but it was just the way things work. But we couldn't get Jamal Lewis if we'd have bought him a car, I don't think. It would have been tough.
No, it was, you know, and sometimes that's just the case. So you got to make hard decisions sometimes.
How about the Augusta paper that year? Really did a good job on us. It comes
Deion
out
Grant.
Georgia to go on probation tomorrow.
The day Deion Grant commits.
Right, with Cozy Coleman and Jamal Lewis and Grant, all three went to Tennessee that year because they were convinced we were going to be on probation for 3 years.
And that was stuff that had happened in the previous regime, and we wound up losing four scholarships. And I can remember when all that news came out, Coach, and just see at the press conference, and you had said, you know what, it's all in front of us now. And I think that's a big thing. Anytime you got the negativity of this stuff, even if it's bad news, and probably anything we do in life, you want to get the bad stuff, you want to deal with it, put it behind you, and just get moving forward now.
And I think that's one of the things that Kirby's done without question is in-state players are looking to come here instead of looking to go somewhere else. You look at all these guys starting around the country, Mitch Hyatt starting at left tackle for Clemson, Orlando Brown starting for Oklahoma, left tackle, best offensive lineman in the country probably, and then the left tackle for who got hurt for Southern Cal from over here. Those are three offensive linemen, I guarantee you, with Coach Pittman here now, that would be playing for Georgia.
Well, and it started. I think that was a big thing, too, we saw just with the recruiting. And that was certainly Coach Rick's Achilles heel was the offensive line. Just that offensive line class that Georgia brought in this year, the one that Kirby's putting together this year, because that's it. I think back, like, the line we had in 07 with Stafford at center had two great tackles and Stinchcomb and Terry. I mean, that's the position. If you're not good up front, you don't have a chance. It's all smoke and mirrors if you're not good up front.
Well, that's true. And we found out a little bit about that against Auburn. We're getting better in the line, but we got
not there yet.
We got knocked around a little bit. But I really believe that offensive line-wise, when you can redshirt two guys like Isaiah Wilson and this Tony guy.
Notori Johnson. I mean, who would have thought that when those guys signed?
Right.
But those guys, I mean, I walk by them occasionally out at practice, and I mean, just, hey, you hurt your neck looking up at Isaiah.
Getting to see Ben Cleveland start this weekend.
Yeah, I thought Ben is a very good example of a young guy that came in here from a pretty good program, Stevens County, but he just was a very young 17-year-old in a man's body and a young boy, and they've really done a good job working on his quickness, and he does take up a lot of space, and he's a great one-on-one blocker. He's going to have to keep working on his feet, but he's only 18 now, and he's going to get a lot better, and I think it was a good move. That's another thing I'm going to give Kirby. He's going to move. You better play every week. If you don't play good, there's somebody else. He's going to give a shot.
And that's the difference between this year and last year, because with the offensive line struggles, people were saying, why don't you move this guy or that guy? And it's like, you didn't have any choice. There just wasn't. And at least now, starting to build the depth, starting to see you got some alternatives. Next year's going to be even better. So, I mean, it's definitely looking very bright.
No, I agree. And when you look at the O-line, too, I think the deal with Cleveland, Coach, you can speak to this. It can be one of the harder positions to recruit because sometimes a guy is just so big in high school, you can just physically overwhelm.
Right.
So that you don't necessarily know how that's going to transcend.
Yeah, you're going against smaller kids and you're never coming off the ball and having to really come look a guy in the eye to block him. Everybody's around your feet, so it's kind of a nuisance for you to block him. And that's what happened to Wilson up there in New York. He had played against all these smaller guys, but I just feel like that the wave of college football that you see more and more, these massive linemen that get a tie or better at the line of scrimmage and just give your backs like we got a yard to go. And then they, you just watch Pittsburgh run the ball up in the pros. I mean, they get a tie and that guy just dances around and then makes moves. And, hey, that's the way it is. It used to be, hey, we're going to come off with our bread and butter. We're going to knock them off the line of scrimmage and all that, But, hey, you can't.
Well, it's changed so much, too, and you're right, Coach. I think if you've got a great back, sometimes all you need is that stalemate up front. Now, you want to have like what Bama had in 2012, have the great line and the great backs. But just how the game has changed, too, there's not much space out there because these guys are so big. And now you got 220-pound safeties and 245-pound linebackers. It's just hard to find room. And I would imagine Tech, they're going to do what Missouri did. They're going to do what Auburn did. They're going to have 9-10 guys up there within 6-7 yards of the line of scrimmage.
I think Tech's M.O. under Ted Roof has always been that they're going to take some chances on defense, particularly if their offense is having trouble, moving the ball, which they've had some of that this year. And when you take those chances, sometimes it looks good because you get lost yardage plays, but you also give up big plays. So I think that's something we're going to see. Their defensive line does a lot of twisting. They bring the corners off the edge a lot. So you're going to get some negative plays once in a while, but I look for some big plays out of our guys Saturday. I just feel like we'll make a lot of big plays in the open field.
You know what scares me, too, is, we're talking about, if everything goes like it should, Georgia'd win this game. But Tech's always like this past weekend, they can give you that inexplicable loss. They also, like when they had that 3-win season, they beat Florida State, that inexplicable win, too, is
true.
What scares me.
Any way you look at it, you just don't take anything for granted. But the preparation is so critical that your defense understands you got to play your assignment football. You play who's got the fullback, who's got the quarterback, who's got the pitch. But also nothing cheap, and, you know, don't give them anything in a kicking game, because it's going to be hard enough to stop them as it is. And this is the one point that I would say my only philosophical Socrates statement today. A triple option team practices the year round on running their offense. You are not going to stop them cold, because they're going to execute. It's just like a good basketball player. It's a good shooter. You might, you know, you might stop him once in a while, but that, he knows he's going to put the ball in the hole. So you got to stop him enough where he has some hard shots. That's what we got to do against Marshall on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You got to make him make a couple of bad pitches or a couple of bad reads, because all day long, all he's doing is taking a snap and reading the 3 technique, reading the 4 technique, reading the 5 technique, taking to the end and pitching, as compared to a quarterback who's dropping back, reading the safety, throwing the ball, you know, that's a passer. He knows how to read. So the one thing I would say about having coached the option and having defended it is, don't think you're going to go out there and just stone cold stop them. They've got to stop themselves some, and then you got to play situational football. If you get them in second and long, you got to get them off the field. If you get a turnover, the ball's on the ground, you got to recover it. I mean, if you got a chance to recover a fumble against Tech, hey, don't say, well, I wish I'd have got that ball. Hey,
you got to get on it.
Right.
You know, when you're watching Tech play and they have a second and something and they get it to third and three, and you're like, well, you know, if they don't get the third down, they're gonna mm-hmm. go for it on fourth down. Or the players, is it getting the players' heads too? Yeah. So they know that, like, oh, we got two more downs here. It's not necessarily getting them off the field on third down.
And it not only gets in the defensive players, it gets in the offensive players, because sometimes it's 5, 6, 7 minutes before you get back on the field, and then you get out there and you got a third and medium, and you're saying, hey, if we don't get this, we may not get the ball back the rest of the half. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand that you got to make every play count on offense too, from a standpoint of the real challenge for us this week is our offense got to take over the game and be our offense. If we're a great running team that can hit some play action pass and make a lot of big plays, it's not going to make that much difference what the defense does, because they'll have a hard time keeping up with us. But if all of a sudden we turn the ball over, get some penalties, then that puts a lot of pressure on your defense to get off the field. And it's hard to get off the field. So you guys are math majors. 4 into 10 is 2.5. If they average 2.5 yards a play, they're going to go for it on yep. the fourth down.
You got to get them in some negative yardage. So you got to, you know, that, which goes back, if they get a call, some of the cut blocking they do, if they high low a guy, you know, or you got to get Marshall on first down. If you get him for a loss, to get him in a second, so you have to get those guys right behind the chains.
And we got SEC officials, you know. They're always worried about how they look like. That's a good word. Hey, we got to be fair and all that. But I wish we had, for non-conference games, neutral.
I agree.
Bring in Big Ten officials like we do for bowl games or Pac-12 or whatever it might be. It's just so much pressure on the SEC official to call this game, just like with ACC guys over here. And the commissioners, they don't care about that. We had some bad calls against Tech, and I wrote up an ACC official and said, hey, this is what happened and all. And I'll be danged, the next time we played them, we had the same crew. You think they cared?
No.
No. Well, and the other problem we ran into, too, was that for, you know, 30-something years, from Bobby Gaston to Rogers Redding, the head of SEC officiating was a Tech guy.
Right. Yeah.
Bobby Gaston was okay. I mean, Rogers Redding, I didn't know that well. But Bobby tried to be a little bit diplomatic, but at the same time, I mean, that was just, you talk about probably one of the most shocked things I ever got was when I got that officials list the second time, when we got the same group that put the screws to us before. And so I called up John Swofford, who is ACC official, a commissioner. I said, Johnny, you remember when you were playing quarterback at North Carolina and you came in my office and said, hey, coach, I need to get some more reps? I said, I need to get some help from you, man. Come on, what are you doing? And he said, hey, I just let the ACC, and at that time, Gaston had retired, but I said, come on. That's just well, Bobby Gasson ended up coming into to the SEC, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he was ahead of officials for the SEC. And then Rogers Redding, who went to Tech, took over. I mean, it's just – I mean, here's the deal. But my thing was always, would Florida have stood for it if a Florida State guy was ahead of officiating?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
well, how about the guy that made the Jasper Saints call? He's a Florida graduate.
Well,
it, not Al Ford, the umpire. The guy's dead now, so I don't want to talk about him, but – he's the one that – the guy couldn't hardly walk. I mean, he had such bad knees, and I couldn't believe he was the
– here's the thing on that call. As awful as it was, even if it was a fumble, it should have been a safety.
Oh, yeah.
Because the guy picked the ball up and went back.
Exactly.
He goes over to him. He says, I think we got the white ball on the recovery now. Ford said, are you sure? He said, well, I think so. I mean – but I don't want to get into that. I have no need to
dredge up all that stuff.
But it is a situational thing, though. There's an enormous amount of pressure on these officials in these games like this that are, you know, like South Carolina and Clemson. I mean, you're going to have ACC officials at that game because they're playing at South Carolina, right?
Correct.
Yep.
And
nighttime and Williams-Brice.
It's going to be how they're going to call it, you know. I mean – I know one time I looked up over there in a game that I was playing against the ACC team, and the guy that was a red, the head linesman on our side, I said, are you Bobby Godball? And he said, yes, I am. I said, I went to kindergarten with you.
That's a good name, too.
I said, do you remember? Yeah. No, this was from in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Oh, my gosh.
Before I moved to Asheville and then Burlington, but I said, I can't believe it. You still look the same. We were talking the whole game, and he said, Coach, I got to make some calls. I said, hey, but how about so-and-so? Where did he go to school? It was pretty funny.
Make some calls for the Bulldogs.
That's
then
awesome.
We played Oklahoma. We played at North Carolina in 1988. And before the game, one of the – I didn't even know because Switzer got the list. I didn't even know who was calling the game. But Chuck Amato's brother was a head linesman, and I went over to him. His name is Rosie Amato, R-O-S-I-E.
Sounds like a mom.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And I went over to Rosie. I said, hey, Rosie. I said, we're going to be all right today, but we need a couple calls. He said, you got it, Coach. You got it.
Yeah. If I have to get the Cosa Nostra involved, I will. No big deal. Coach Donnan here in the studio. Jeff Dantzler along with me. I'm David Johnston. By the way, AP went for 296 in the game back in 07.
That's the record.
Jamal Lewis had 295. Jerome Harrison of Cleveland, and then Corey Dillon, and then Walter Payton. So four backs have surpassed Payton since he went for 275 40 years ago. And yeah, AP, 296.
Wow.
No one's gone. Will someone ever run for 300 in a game?
That'd be a heck of a day in the league.
Ooh, I guess eventually it'll happen, but, man.
I told you about the time when I first heard about Adrian Peterson. They're talking about, the guy winning the Heisman Trophy for Oklahoma now. It'll be the third quarterback in the last 15 years if he wins it. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, and then you had Sam Bradford and White. But White was a quarterback there at Oklahoma, and they were playing LSU for a national championship. I said, hey, Coach, how's it look for next year? Are you going to lose a lot of guys? He said, yeah, but we got a running back that's coming in here. We're going to make him forget Billy Sims. I said, what's his name? He said, Adrian Peterson.
He's a great one.
Oh, unbelievable. All right, quick timeout. We'll be back in just a moment. This Southern Sports Center coming up is brought to you by Dick Ferguson's Quality Men's Clothing. We open up the email inbox for Coach Donnan in the 9 o'clock hour, so we'll hit that. So get those to us, 960theref at coxradio.com. All right, back here on the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Jeff Dantzler along with you, and we're excited to have Coach Donnan here in the studio with us as well every Tuesday from 8 until 6. Coach, yesterday I was talking to one of our buddies from up in Chattanooga, and Jeff's known him for a long time too. Our man David Pascal, so he told me to tell you hello. David Pasquale. I know you do his show too in the afternoons, and he's an Auburn guy. And I said, take off your Auburn hat, and what do you think about Saturday? And he's like, I tell you, man, he goes, just as a college football fan, I can't wait for the Iron Bowl. You know what that's going to look like. And but
you
he told me
break it down for you. We're going
to
do that.
We are definitely. You can break it down now if you want to, but we'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour
keep
for sure.
Give them a little tease. Get the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll give you the breakdown on the Bama Auburn game on how I see it.
You know what I wanted to ask you too, though, is because we don't see this a lot, like coaches and players and relationships, and you know Baker Mayfield. You know, a couple of dumb things he did on Saturday, but to see what Lincoln Riley, to see how much that pained him. Yesterday to have to announce that Mayfield's not going to be a captain for this game coming up against West Virginia. Not going to start. He did go, but he will play. I like how he
pulled that pat down.
Yeah, he's like, he's not going to start, but he will play. But I mean, about teared up. It's like, I think the fans just don't always understand how it is.
Senior, you know, it's his last game at Owen Field. The only thing people could say, I'm an Oklahoma guy, and in a lot of ways, there's no way you could ever do anything like that like he did. But it started out, I mean, you talk about if you play a game or you start before a game and a guy won't shake your hand.
Right.
That's a complete – that just – I mean, I never have liked Kansas. I'm just going to tell you, when I was coaching at Missouri, I mean, it's just a rival. It's just like we're talking about. You just – I'm sure they felt the same way about us, but just total lack of respect to stand out there in front of everybody, not shake your hand like that, and then
plus they stink.
It's yeah,
like, what
what's
are you trying to get
exactly?
Out of
that? Right. Why are you stirring the bear like
be
that?
One of the, got a chance to be one of the worst teams in the history of college football. I mean, the guy, he's getting a vote of confidence for three. He's won three games now in 3 years, and nothing against him, but
2 1AA teams in Texas,
right? Unbelievable.
Bizarre.
I mean, Charlie Strong, that's a bad loss, but
that was a bad loss. Yes.
I'm just gonna say this though, that you respect Coach Riley. I mean, he made a move on there. You gotta do something disciplinary wise because a lot of kids. I never forget J.C. Watts, who was a tremendous player for Oklahoma and a winning guy. And Kirby's brought some of the ex players here to talk to him, but. J.C. Watts brought his son, who was 6 years old, over to our talk to our team. And he was sitting there, little boy, was having a hard time. You know, he's looking around at Bosworth and Casillas and Troy Aikman. You know, I mean, and J.C. Watts said one of the most illuminating things I've ever heard. He said, "Men, I want you to look at this boy right here. He's a son of a quarterback who's won as many games as anybody at quarterback at Oklahoma. But at the same time, every one of you in this room is his hero. And every time you go anywhere, I want you to remember how every kid in this state that's a Sooner fan looks up to you and what it stands for." I mean, that really hit home to me. It should hit home to Baker Mayfield, anybody, because – just go over to our when we have the signing day out there where the fans, the appreciation day, all right. Those kids out there, I mean, just to have their picture made with Nick Chubb or get their picture made with Ugga or Kirby. I mean, the rest, you come into the world pretty much you're a dog fan or you're not one, you know what I mean? And
I can tell you, Coach, I had when Kevin Butler late night trips when he stayed over at my place, I'll put on the pillow. I've still got an autograph he gave me from 1983. I've still got it.
Well, but I mean, that's
you'll
what
never Baker, forget it.
That's
either.
What Baker needs. I mean, when you do stuff like that, it's just not. But at the same time, we see a lot of that. In professional sports, I mean, people do things that in the heat of the moment. But the fans are part of the game, and you got to respect, you know, just can't let them get to you like that. But he's a little volatile, that's for sure. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't think I've ever seen a guy that can hit people on the run any better than he can over 70% on the year. He's running away with Heisman this year. I mean, even though Jackson's got a lot of stats and everything, but – to go up there to Ohio State and pick apart that secondary and then do the same thing against Oklahoma State on the road, I mean, he just unbelievable quarterback. But
and he's from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, he's a walk-on at Texas Tech, and they let him go. But
unbelievable. I know, just the amount of quarterbacks.
Well, they're players everywhere, and sometimes guys just fit certain systems. And, you know, the whole thing, you look, to me, what Jake Fromm has done this year at Georgia. Coach, what jumped out to me, and Dave and I have talked about this a lot, you know, it's one thing to get your number called, but it's another thing to be prepared. And you're talking about a guy who is an all-time great player in this state, and he's thinking, I'm not even going to play in this game. And then lo and behold, as you like to say, he got that battlefield promotion. And the way he stepped in and performed,
right,
man, that says a ton about what he's got on the inside.
Well, and it goes back to just the inherent feeling of wanting to play for Georgia.
Right.
There's so many guys that's a lifelong ambition, and once you get that shot, you're going to, you know, a lot of times people lose the position more than they win it. But what he's done, he's just done everything humanly possible. Just like you go out there, which I don't go to many practices, but when they run sprints, he tries to outrun Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't, but he tries to.
Right. He runs with the linemen when they make penalties.
Hey, but, you know, I had this high school coach over there I watched one time. They had this tour thing they call the tour where they would run after practice and they'd have to go out kind of like a cross-country deal. And they had this creek that they had to go across and jump over, okay? And if you were the world's long jump champion, you could not jump across that creek.
So not even Bob Beamon.
Bob Beamon couldn't get that one.
The idea was you tried to every time. You knew you were going to land in the water, but you wanted to get a little closer so you could get out of that cold water quicker. And he made them do it. They had to jump every time. And he said, hey, it's just the idea that, hey, we're going to get better at getting across that creek. I mean, that's what I like. That's a little philosophy for you on the tour. But
no, but it's like, well, Kirby always says, like, you're still striving to play that perfect game. So, well, realistically, you're never going to play a perfect game. I mean, the odds of that are incomprehensible. But when that's the goal.
Yeah, but I like it when we're running away with somebody and then they come in there against our second group and they score a touchdown and Kirby's so mad about it. But that's just typical of all of us, you know. All of us want to annihilate everybody when you do that. But,
hey,
but getting back to Baker Mayfield, that's just an
issue.
Hey,
I was going to ask you about Mayfield.
I thought that and they got our game this week, Patch and McElroy and Tom Luganville.
Yeah.
I thought they really just talked about it way too much after it got started there. But, hey, that's just me. But
you know, kind of in a Manziel kind of way, if you try to dial some of those guys back a little bit, they lose their effectiveness. So you kind of have to put up with some of the shenanigans to get the most out of those guys.
He's got, I mean.
If that makes any sense.
We had a quarterback at Oklahoma, Jamel Holloway, that was from Los Angeles, and he was just a different bird from a standpoint of the way he grew up compared to, you know, what I'd been. He just, and I had to try to rope him in all the time. You never knew. I never knew what he was doing. I know one night we were going to the movie, and Jamel was decked out. I mean, he looked good now. I mean, he was like, I said, Jamel, I said, that's a nice looking suit there. He said, yeah, I got this deal with this guy in town. I give him some tickets. I said, Jamel, you don't need to tell me that.
Sure,
he said, yeah. He said, and then, you know, we're going over to play Oklahoma State. And he said, Coach, I need to get my girlfriend and behind the team on the driving over there. And I said, okay. And I go out there, and she's in a limo. I said, Jamel, what'd you do? So I got this guy some tickets, you know. So
just put your hands over your ears.
We got a big limo behind our escort going over there. And we get up, and Switzer, I said, Coach, where are you going to park this? He said, I don't know. He said, they'll be mad about it. So we get over there, and Oklahoma State won't let us park that limo. And this girl gets out. They think it's Switzer's girlfriend. It's just a young girl. And we're trying to park that thing right there, and they're getting mad. And Switzer said, hey, you put this thing in there. This is with our team and all.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty
that
much.
Is awesome.
Well, then you have Bosworth, too. I mean, you know.
Did he get a little bit of attention?
Hey, Bos could – He was a good guy, though, but he when he once he became Brian Bosworth was okay, but once he became the boss, hey, he was just different. And Switzer had to bring him down once in a while, but what a player! I mean, you know, once he got his shoulder hurt, he wasn't near as good, but he could. But anyhow, getting back to Baker Mayfield, what were you going to say about it?
No, I was that was what I was going to say is that there are some players that you just, I mean. They get a little bit longer leash because if you try to dial them back in, they lose some of their effectiveness.
Well, hey, and the greatest coach, probably the winner, and then, of course, the women's basketball coach has won more games now, I mean, more championships at UConn. But John Wooden, I never forget him saying, hey, talking about Lou Alcindor, he says, you think I'm not going to treat Lou Alcindor different than some guy that's playing on the fifth guy on our team? He said, I'm going to be fair, but at the same time, you got to, you know, hey, if Lou needs a job at Delta out there at LAX, I'm going to get him one, you know?
Well, and it's also, I mean,
he can get home to Power Memorial
New
York.
That's yeah.
Well, he also had, you know, he said once, I heard an interview with John Wooden, he said, I ran the same offense every year I coached. Every single year I ran the same offense with six exceptions. The 3 years I had Lou Alcindor, the 3 years I had Bill Walton. The play then passed him the ball every time.
Yeah. That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's also the kiss theory, too.
That's right. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just yeah.
But, you know, they lost the – I remember playing in Kansas City like in 61 or something like that. They lost or they would have won another. They lost in the semifinals with that left-handed guard they had that was so good they could shoot the rock. And but John Wooden, I mean, every coach, you got to have rules and you got to go by the rules, but you don't need to look for reasons to find. But in this case, it's such a national deal. And Lincoln Riley, I think he's done a heck of a job, you know, stepping in there for Stoops like he did, you know, as a young coach. And
that's not easy.
And, you know, emotion's part of life, though. I mean, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with being emotional. I mean, we even saw Nick Saban last week talking about his seniors. I mean, you know, he got a little emotional about him. I mean, I would, too, if you're 51-4. Come on. That's yeah. That class right now is 51-4.
He's very emotional in a very good way.
You know, there was a story about that as we go into the break here, kind of talking about, you know, you've got – you don't necessarily have different rules, but you do, but you got to be fair. Emmitt Smith tells a story once that they had a guy, like the number 43 guy for the Cowboys, fell asleep during film watching, and Jimmy Johnson cut him. And Emmitt said he went to Jimmy Johnson and said, what'd you done if I'd have fallen asleep? He said, I'd have woken you up.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Oh, excellent stuff there.
I'd tell you, Jimmy, very smart guy, majored in psychology, and he pulled a lot of different things with the team. Switzer used to tell me about some of the things Jerry Jones told him about after he took over there for the Cowboys, talking about Jimmy. But
once I remember he told the story, he had a kicker told him he had lost his confidence. He said, I appreciated his honesty. Then I cut him. I can't have a kicker without his confidence.
We'll take a quick break. David Johnston, Jeff Dantzler, Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. All right, it's a morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Green, there you go. The Dogs getting set to take on Tech on Saturday. That'll be a noon kickoff that we'll have for you right here on the Ref. Jeff, up early, and I do appreciate it. You got Lady Dogs duty tonight at, 6:45 airtime, 7 o'clock tip-off against Western Carolina.
Luckily, the game here, not in Cullowhee. So that's good thing.
That is a very good thing.
The only good thing about Cullowhee, now you can go over there to Cherokee
right
and
next
play
door.
Some cards. But
yes, you can. Yeah, the fire water is not free.
The only time I ever did this, my whole coaching career, David Green, we're playing somebody, I don't even know, home game, and David Green and his mother and dad are coming for a visit to the game, you know. And I really wanted to see him before the game if there's any way possible. You know, hey, you just like to talk to him and everything. So I keep looking, and he's not there, and finally, right before kickoff, David, we bring the kids on the sideline. You can bring them on the sideline before the game, but they can't stay there during the game. So he came by and said, I said, where's your mom and dad? And said, well, they're just walking up there. And I got my policeman. I went up in the stands before the game and say hello to them. It was just, I had to, man. It was an impulsive thing. It was probably, you know, something that I would never do more than likely. But I just wanted to know how glad I was that they made it to the game. You know what I mean?
Difference maker.
Yep.
But those are things that I don't even know why I told you that. But David Green, I remember that. And just unbelievable. My son, Todd, did a heck of a job recruiting him. He did a good job with the family. You know, both of his mom and dad went to Auburn.
Auburn.
He did a great job recruiting him.
Well, and the thing with Greeny, too, you know, they ran, I think his sophomore year, they ran the triple option, went 0-10. Then T. McFerrin got there, and he realized what he had.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he just very accurate. And DJ Shockley, same thing. I mean, he didn't have a lot of help at his high school either. But
both turned out to be damn good dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach D.
One of the hottest days I ever had in my life was at spring practice watching DJ Shockley practice out there. I mean, if it hadn't been DJ Shockley, I would have taken it to the house.
Right. All right. Different rules for different players.
Yes. I was standing out there and I was sweating like, I mean, it was so bad. I mean, this is in, you know, May, but it was, I said, I got to get out of here. But I hung in there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.